Well, does anybody here have was anybody here ever a witness to something really historic that you were there for that, or has anyone met or been around when an historic person in the same place as that person or anything like that? Anyone have a story like that to share? Come on, I can't believe it. Brendan, yes. So you were there when President Obama was inaugurated. Okay. All right. Thanks, Brendan. Who else? Chris.
Peggy and I had the wonderful opportunity of meeting the former Secretary of State, Madeleine Albright, personally at Monticello a few years ago.
So all right.
That's my claim to United States. That's my United States connection.
So, Peggy and Chris, you were there at Monticello when Secretary of State Albright was there. Okay, who else? This is good. Yes, Linda. You were there when Dwight Eisenhower was inaugurated president. Okay. Wow, great. Okay. All right, yes, Mary Ellen. Oh my gosh, so you were there at the independence of the of St. Lucia, and you were there when the Queen was there. That's cool. Ray.
I had the opportunity to meet Archbishop Tutu in South Africa in 1994 or 3, I forget which, but I was absolutely amazed. His only question for me when he found out I was from Virginia was, who won your gubernatorial election?
Wow. Okay, so you were there to meet Archbishop Tutu. Okay, well, actually, I have something too. I was there in 1995 when Bishop Sullivan led a pilgrimage to Rome to celebrate our 175th anniversary as a diocese, and I was there in the Clementine Hall of the Apostolic Palace when Pope John Paul gave us a private audience, and I met him there. And now, if you want to know what being an idiot looks like, this is me in this picture, okay? If there was not a picture that was evidence that I actually shook his hand, I would not have been able to tell you it happened. I was totally in a fog, and I acted like a complete fool. But anyway, that's why I'm not cardinal today. But you know, with all those stories that we just told, they don't hold a candle to what divine wisdom says in our first reading. She says, when God fixed the heavens firm, I was there. When God created all of the cosmos, all of the universe, wisdom says, I was there. So who is this wisdom anyway? Christian tradition from the second century onwards has seen in the wisdom of the Old Testament the person of Christ himself. So wisdom is the person of Christ himself, the second person of the Trinity. And today we celebrate the Feast of the Holy Trinity, in which we really do celebrate with love and adoration, praise and thanksgiving, who our God is. Which is really why we come to Mass every Sunday, to offer God the homage and praise that is his due, we who are creatures. We owe that to God, and that is why we come to Mass every Sunday. And today I would like to comment on three things that we learn about our God from divine revelation in our first reading from the book of Proverbs. And that does not mean that God is a Jesuit. Some people get that. That's an inside joke for incarnation people. Those three things are this, that we learn about God from our first reading. Number one, God is playful. Number two, God delights in himself. Number three, God delights in us. I just realized there's three things to match the three persons of the Trinity. I didn't really even realize that. But anyway, folks, in case anyone doesn't know it, that's what this icon is here. This is the icon of the Holy Trinity that we're looking at. So, divine wisdom says that when God created everything in the universe, she was ever at play in God's presence, playing everywhere on his earth. God is playful. God is lighthearted. Listen to the description that is given of holy wisdom in the Book of Wisdom, chapter 7. For within her is a spirit, intelligent, holy, unique, manifold, subtle, mobile, incisive, unsullied, lucid, invulnerable, benevolent, shrewd, irresistible, beneficent, friendly to human beings, steadfast, dependable, unperturbed, almighty, all-surveying, penetrating all intelligent, pure, and most subtle spirits. Notice the descriptors that are used for divine wisdom in that passage. They are words that are all light words, like pure and subtle and mobile and friendly and unperturbed. They are all light words. They're not heavy words. That is because our God is lighthearted. Our God is a God of play. You know, play is one of the most pure activities that we can engage in. Because play is done for its own sake, not because it produces anything. Play gives rest to the spirit. It's fun. And that's the attitude we should take towards the things that pertain to God. For example, the Benedictine nun, Sister Joan Chittister, says that about prayer. She said she doesn't like to think about prayer as a discipline, which is the language we sometimes use, but rather she says prayer is something that brings rest and refreshment. So number two, God delights in himself. We hear wisdom say that she was delighting God day after day. We hear her say that in our first reading. Again, this wisdom later becomes the incarnate in Jesus Christ, as our Christian tradition has always held. This wisdom is the second person of the Trinity, who is delighting God day after day. So in the inner life of God, there is delight among the three persons. Within God, you might say, is one big throbbing ecstasy of love. And so when we approach God, what we are fundamentally approaching is an abyss of love and ecstasy. So what do these two points have to do with us anyway? Well, we always have to be reminded, especially if we have a tendency to take ourselves too seriously or to become morose in our spirituality, that how important it is to our spirituality that we be lighthearted. That we have to remind ourselves of that. And how necessary it is to us to have a spirituality of Sabbath, that is, of rest and play, if we are going to be whole and holy and God-like. Now, the Christian community is a Trinitarian community. And so since within God, within that community, there is delight in each other, we are also called to have delight in each other, to love one another. So instead of focusing on the negative, on all the things about each other that drive us crazy or that we cannot stand, if we are in the image of God, if we are godly people, then we will endeavor always instead to find our delight in each other. Seeing each other as God sees us. Which brings us to the third point, where divine wisdom in our first reading is described as delighting to be with the human race. I love that last verse of our passage. God delighting to be with the human race. God delights in the human race so much that his word becomes flesh just to delight in our company, to walk and talk with us, to eat and drink with us, to hang out with us, and to die for us, to make it possible for us through him to be sucked into and share the inner life of love and delight in the Trinity. Because through the death and resurrection of Jesus, which we share in through baptism, we become part of the body of the second person of the Trinity. And thus we are able to love and enjoy the Father and the Holy Spirit in the same way that Jesus does, and to experience the love and delight of the Father and Holy Spirit in us as they do with Jesus. One of my favorite scriptures that talk about God's delight in us is from the prophecy of Zephaniah, chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, which says, "Your God is there with you. He will rejoice over you with happy song. He will renew you by his love. He will dance with shouts of joy for you as on a day of festival." So, church, today let us choose wisdom once again, which is to choose our God by responding to the supreme invitation, which is in the book of Proverbs right after the passage that we heard. So let us listen now to the voice of God as he speaks to us from within the Trinity. "And now, my children, listen to me. Happy are those who keep my ways. Listen to instruction and become wise. Do not reject it. Blessed whoever listens to me, who day after day keeps watch at my gates to guard my portals. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains the favor of God. But whoever misses me harms himself. All who hate me are in love with death." May our Trinitarian Lord be worshipped, praised, and honored forever. Amen.